Whatever became of Frank H. Humphreys, the first Westerner to visit the Maharishi? The following paragraph, quoted from Arthur Osborne, is found in the prefatory note of the small book Glimpses of the Life and Teachings of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi, which is a compilation of articles written by Frank H. Humphreys. Police service did not prove congenial to Humphreys. Sri Bhagavan advised him to attend to his service and meditation at the same time. For some years, he did so, and then he retired. Being already a Catholic and having understood the essential unanimity of all religions, he saw no need to change, but returned to England, where he entered a monastery. Frank Humphreys was the first Westerner known to sit in the Maharishi's presence, and the brevity of this somewhat flawed epilogue leaves out a life of many adventurous undertakings that took place both before and after Humphreys was baptized a Catholic, brought up an Anglican, and took his first vows of a Dominican religious at the age of 37, 14 years after leaving India. Subsequently, he worked tirelessly for 45 years, serving the needy in South Africa. These facts of Humphrey's life would have remained unknown if not for the effort of John Ames of Mississippi. Whatever scant evidence relating to Frank Humphrey's life John uncovered over the course of 1 year, he kept on digging and persisting until he obtained, through the kindness of a Dominican archivist, a copy of a short biography, not so trivial a tale, compiled by his colleagues in 1975. After his passing, John also offered valuable suggestions for this article. Frank Humphrey's pre-religious life was a whirlwind of endeavors. First, as a child misfit, then a gifted student who trained for diplomatic service, an Indian police officer, a student of Vedanta, an airman, an intelligence officer, a journalist, farmer, store manager, a postal employee, a teacher, a secretary, carpenter, and public speaker. All of these endeavors preceded his final profession as a Catholic priest. We at Arunachala Ashrama are fortunate to have the friendship of Sister Kathleen, a firmly grounded Advaitin and keen devotee of Bhagavan Ramana, who lives in a large community of Dominican nuns in the US. Her steadfast dedication and devotion has always been a great source of inspiration to us. And since Frank Humphreys was a Dominican religious, we sent her his biography to review. After reading it, she immediately wrote her own observations that went straight to the heart of Frank's seemingly complex character. Impressed how she spontaneously resonated with Friar Humphreys and his religious career, we asked her to write an article about Frank Humphreys. She joyously responded with the following article, which is the first of a two-part article. Prologue. Beginning in 1911, a 21-year-old British police officer named Frank Humphreys had at least three face-to-face visits with the young Sri Ramana, who was at the time living in the Virupaksha cave. Fortunately, Humphreys recorded some of his experiences. He died in 1975 in South Africa as a Catholic religious, a Dominican friar. To attempt to summarize his life between these two events and to offer some conjecture as to the influence of Bhagavan and Vedanta on his life is a daunting task for three reasons. First, sources are few for an informal, unscholarly article such as this. We have his own sparse notes of the visits in the form of letters to the editor of the International Psychic Gazette, published as Glimpses of the Life and Teachings of Sri Ramana Maharishi, as described by Frank H. Humphreys. We have excerpts taken by Dominican compilers from Humphreys' unpublished autobiography in later life as a friar. The compilation is entitled Not So Trivial a Tale. Quotations in this article are from this compilation by Brother Oswin Magrath and Brother Finbar Synod. Second, Humphreys' life from birth to death is an incredibly complex and unusual story with many twists and turns. In many ways, he is an enigma. Third, often his own words leave doubt as to what he really meant. So one can, of course, discern only clues to the influence that Vedanta may have had on him in later life. No pun intended on Vichara, but who am I to be attempting this? Frank Humphreys encountered Bhagavan early in life, became a Catholic in the middle, and ended up as a vowed Dominican friar. I write as one who encountered Catholicism early in life. 16. Became a vowed Dominican sister in the middle. 54. And now, 75, I'm still firmly Dominican, but only a fringe Catholic and a devout Advaitin and devotee of Bhagavan. I find that Dominican life, based as it is on the four pillars of prayer, ministry, community life, and assiduous study, has no conflict with Vedanta. In fact, Vedanta fits well with Dominican life. I do find some disparity between the Roman Church's doctrines and the essential teachings of Jesus. The following is only my own observations and conjectures on the life of this unique seeker, who was the first Westerner to experience the divinity of the Maharishi, and who ultimately dedicated his life to the service of God in all people. Childhood and Youth, 1890-1910. Francis Henry Humphreys was born in 1890 in London of high Anglican parents. His father was a struggling physician. His mother was interested in the occult and practiced fortune-telling, table-turning, second sight, and later spiritualism. He recounts a visit he and his sister made to their mother's latest fortune teller and tells how some second sight opened in him. In spite of his later disparagement of the influences of the occult, I blame my incompetence on the kind of negative attitude of mind that the occult sciences had on me. He loved his mother and wrote later in life, I am thankful to have had such a mother, and her mistakes count for nothing beside her goodness. The almost unbelievable number of serious illnesses and surgeries Francis underwent in his lifetime began early with blood poisoning and diphtheria at age 8. In spite of these, he appeared to be something of a child prodigy with a propensity for languages enhanced by sojourns in France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland. At King's College, London, at age 15, his plan to enter the diplomatic corps as a student interpreter in China did not materialize, and his mentors advised him to apply for the Indian police. India was then part of the British Empire. Indian Police, Flying Intelligence, 1910-1919. By this time, Francis had also had 2 broken legs, 8 months of illness, and 2 operations. He passed the police examination low on the list due to ill health before and after. After nearly dying, he sailed for India in December 1910. On arrival in India, he went into the Bombay hospital with pleurisy and malaria and nearly died again. These numerous health misfortunes plagued him throughout his life. He had more than 25 serious operations and spent over 7 years in hospitals at different times. His list of illnesses and broken bones takes up an entire paragraph in not so trivial a tale. He learned Telugu, one of the local languages, from S. Narasimhaya in Vellore. Narasimhaya was a disciple of Sri Kavi Kanta Ganapati Muni and a devotee of Sri Bhagwan. It was they who brought Francis to Sri Bhagwan. Narasimhaya records in the introduction 2 glimpses that Francis first asked him for an English book on astrology, then asked if he knew any Mahatmas, which he denied. The next morning, Francis said, "I saw your guru this morning in my sleep," and picked out Ganapati Sastri's photo from several that Narasimhaya showed him. Francis again became ill and had to go to a hill station for recovery. His first letter to Narasimhaya described his meeting with a strange man, poorly clad, well-built, with bright eyes, matted hair, and a long beard. Narasimhaya believed it must have been a Siddha. His second letter was a request to teach him breath control. His third brought questions about eating meat, and fourth letter asked if he could join a mystic society. He was then almost 21. Narasimhaya answered as best he could, but avoided his questions about unusual practices. A day after Francis returned from the hill station in 1911 to resume his police work in Vellore, he drew a picture of a mountain cave with some sage standing at its entrance and a stream gently flowing down the hill in front of the cave. He said he saw this in his sleep and asked what it could be. Was this Bhagavan's call to Francis from the Virupaksha cave? What good deed had Francis done in a previous life to merit the blessing of face-to-face visits with him? Narasimhaya and Ganapati Sastri subsequently took Francis to meet the young Swami at Virupaksha. The not-so-trivial a tale compilers mention only his meeting with Narasimhaya and Ganapati Sastri in one short paragraph. No mention at all of meeting Sri Ramana. Had Francis himself noted anything more years later in his unpublished autobiography? When he was almost 70 years old, Brother Humphrey's superior asked him to write an autobiography. The only known copy of this work, entitled Not So Trivial, A Tale, exists in the Dominican archives in Springs, S.A. The archivist says there are about 5 pages that deal with this period, mostly recounting conversations. Unfortunately, the typescript was too faint to duplicate. After the visits, Francis sent letters to the International Psychic Gazette describing his experiences in Bhagavan's presence. Only a few short quotations from glimpses are given here to show the impact these experiences obviously had. When we reached the cave, we sat before him at his feet and said nothing. We sat thus for a long time, and I felt lifted out of myself. I could only feel his body was not the man. It was the instrument of God, merely a sitting motionless corpse from which God was radiating terrifically. My own sensations were indescribable. He conveyed words of meaning and taught me direct. You can imagine nothing more beautiful than his smile. I sat for 3 hours listening to his teaching. It is strange what a change it makes in one. The teachings, according to Francis' notes, try to keep the mind unshakingly fixed on that which sees. It is inside yourself. That one point where all religions meet is the realization, the fact that God is everything and everything is God. These bodies and minds are only the tools of the I, the illimitable spirit. How can you best worship God? Why? By not trying to worship Him, but by giving up your whole self to Him and showing that every thought, every action is only a working of that one life, God. These are Francis' own words recorded shortly after being in Bhagavan's presence. But back to his biography, Francis found police work in their Raj difficult. Frustration, boredom, overwork, blistering heat, malaria, and a good deal of crime was a matter of a goat stolen by someone who was starving. In another district, he had 9 murders, a threat of riot, and the discovery of a large gang of bandits. In 1 week, after 2.5 years, Francis returned to England. Then followed another illness, a 2-year liaison with a much older woman, writing and flying lessons in 1916. In 1917, he was sent to France with the Royal Flying Corps, later the RAF. Airplane fumes soon gave him bronchitis, and he was sent back to England. After war office work, teaching aircraft gunnery training and being a flight instructor, a crash in 1918 caused by a student landed him in a hospital for 10 months with fractured facial bones. He studied with a theologian, Mr. Bohe, and asked, "What is the difference between Vedanta and Christianity?" Mr. Bohe replied, "Vedanta claims that everything is from yourself. Christianity teaches that everything is from outside you." This reply, Francis remarks, worked a revolution in me. I became a Christian again. Continued in the September-October issue.